considered as being important, we must learn to prioritize. And one person, you may be saying, if all of them are important, Brother Mitchell, why prioritize? Because prioritize means to set some things above other things, or to have things in their right place. So if all are important, why prioritize? Reason being, Jesus Christ has told us in the book of Matthew 23:23 that we must prioritize. Let us hear that passage.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law.
Notice the weightier matter of the law. Now, this simple statement shines light on the will of God for us. You have omitted the more important things of the law. You did not have your priority right. That's what that implies. Read that little part again, Brother Wilson. You have omitted
weightier matters of the law.
The weightier
matters of the law.
Notice too the comparative degree used. The weightier, the heavier, the more important matters of the law. But he continues.
Judgment, mercy, and faith.
Mm-hmm.
These ought ye have done, and not to leave the other undone.
Notice, very important. You should have done this. Judgment. You must learn to be just. You must learn to show mercy. These are the weightier matter of the law.
Right.
Watch here now. I'm still in the text. These you should put first. That's the implication. These you should have done. But notice, but you should not leave undone the other either. You see, even the less important things, they are placed there for you to carry them out also. Look at Luke 11:42. Same principle.
But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs.
Wait, you get this, that they were so mindful to give 10% even of the vegetation. Even of the vegetation. Wait, I don't have. I'm so used to feeling free on the pulpit because the brother them limit me. And so we want him to stand up one place so and mash up the mic. I'm just being mischievous, brothers. Anyway, yes, read again Luke 11:42. As I've said, what is being said in the passage is that they tithes, they give 10% of the vegetable, the mint. Read on.
But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs,
mm-hmm.
and passed over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone.
Same principle. You see, there are some things they were putting as second place. But here is the problem. those things are first place. Now, we have to be careful. The lesson, or one of the main points that I'll be taking up in the lesson tonight, it's along the point that was mentioned last week. And that is, when we read in the Bible about, or when you hear, and you have heard this over and over, if you have been around Christians and religious people, you have heard about besetting sins. You know, people talk about besetting sins. Besetting sin is not any one kind of sin. Besetting sin is any sin that hinder you from progressing the way you are to progress. Besetting sin is any sin that become an obstacle in your relationship with God. But last week I pointed out that what many of us fail to realize is that for many of us, besetting sins are not wrong things that we have done. Besetting sins are some of the right things that we fail constantly to carry out, because the sin of omission, lack of Jesus's parable, I'll be making reference to a few of them tonight, lack of Jesus's parable deal with the sin of omission, not wrong and godly sinful things that we necessarily do, but the right godly things that we just put one side. And that is the area where many of our besetting sin lies. Knowledge of Jesus' will places us where we are better able to know the things that we must never take for granted, put in second place, or left behind. I repeat, knowledge of the will of Jesus Christ places you and me in a position where we will know things about pleasing God that must never take second place. It must never be left behind. Jesus Christ seems to be taking up, rather, James seems to be taking up on Jesus's priority and telling us of the importance I was about to say, when I walk out there, it's not that I forget, it's that I want to pause so that you will be attentive. So let me repeat that James, that we're going to read, remember we have just read from Jesus Christ, where the passage implies that there are some weightier things, and that these weightier things, we should never let them take second place. And James seems to be taking up on this point. And you know, when we read Matthew 23 and verse 23. Let us hear Matthew 25 and verse 43.
Matthew 25 and verse 43.
I was a stranger, and he took me not in. Naked, and he clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and he visited me not.
That's verse 43.
Yes.
Now, James is on this very point. Look at James chapter 1, verse 25.
But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed.
Read on.
If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man religion is vain. Pure
read on,
religion.
Read on to about 27.
Pure religion
and that's the verse.
Pure religion and
pure,
undefiled.
Remember the passage that was read from Matthew 25:43. That Jesus Christ was giving us a hint of the judgment scene. To refresh your memory, I ask that passage be read again. Now, have James chapter 1 verse 27 ready also. Matthew 25 verse 43. The passage is dealing with the judgment scene. And Jesus Christ is speaking there in Matthew 25, 43.
I was a stranger, and he took me not in, naked, and he
took... For the expedition of time, we don't want to necessarily go to some other verse that we do not necessarily need. It is the judgment scene. And Jesus Christ is implying here that on the day of judgment, these are some of the things that will judge us. And the verse 43 at which the brother is, start again.
I was a stranger.
I was a stranger.
And ye took me not
and you
in.
Did not take me in.
Naked.
I was naked.
And ye clothed me not.
And you did not give me something to cover my nakedness.
Sick.
I was sick.
And in prison.
I was in prison.
And ye visit me.
And you did not visit me.
Yes, that's it.
Okay, stop there. Now notice now. That is Jesus Christ. As I said, James is taking up on the same matter. But notice in verse 27, you do not have to read from verse 25. Just pick up at verse 27 in the book of James chapter 1.
Pure religion.
Pure religion.
And undefiled before God.
The religion that is pure and undefiled before God.
And the
wait,
Father.
Wait, it's important that we get this. The religion that is pure, the religion that is like gold, the religion that is not defiled before God. Notice what he said there after that, brother.
Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this.
Just a minute, brother. Yes. Notice how specific James is. He said, it is
this.
This. No, that's quite specific. He pinpoint for us that. Now focus on this. Pure religion. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God.
Here it is. What is it?
To visit the fatherless.
To visit the fatherless.
And widows.
And to visit the widows.
In their affliction.
In their affliction.
And to keep himself unspotted.
And to keep oneself unspotted from
the world.
The world. Now, watch here now. When Jesus Christ spoke, Jesus Christ explained to us the importance of doing good. Are we all there? And that is especially in the area of visiting, attending to, and helping. That is in Matthew chapter 25, verse 43. Now, in this passage, James, and this was written probably some 40, 60 years after Jesus Christ ascended. James' writing says, pure and undefiled religion, not so much before men, but before God, is this. What is it, James? To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And to keep oneself unspotted, that is from the ungodly, sinful things of the world. May we pick up on this. Brothers and sisters, remember I pointed out that we must prioritize. Jesus Christ taught us in the first, among the first passage we read, that we must learn to have our priority right. That was in Matthew 23, 23. Now, may I get this, brothers and sisters? I'm still in James. No child of God should be forgotten or abandoned because he or she is unable to come to the assembly. I need to repeat this. No child of God should be forgotten or abandoned because that brother or sister is unable to meet or assemble with the assembly. We must find time as individual to practice practical Christianity. When James says pure, James did not talk about good Christianity. Pure religion and the religion that is undefiled before God is this. And this is that of visitation. Are we all there?
Yeah.
Wait. We must never be so busy that we're busy, too busy to practice Christianity. Wait. You or I may not find the time to visit every shut-in or every sick person, but as much as lies within our power and ability, one, we must always be mindful of the shut-in, the elderly, and those whose ability to come out is impaired. They are unable to come out.
And especially brothers and sisters who, when they were in better health, they come out regularly to worship God, to be a part of the fellowship. We should not forget them. That's first thing. And they should not be abandoned. As I've said, any one of us might not be able to visit all of them. But at the same time, we must not as individual Christians feel comfortable when months after months and weeks after weeks, it has never come to us to visit some of those whom we have not seen.
I need to ask myself, your people like Sister Bell, of course, both she and her husband, when Brother Bell was alive, even feeling hurt,
he tried to be here. Sister Bell, even when her eyes, her sight almost totally failed, she was coming out. Now, I need to ask myself as an individual Christian, isn't it wise for me to find some time to even now and again drop by to have a word of prayer with her, to let her know that she has not been forgotten? Again, I repeat, you might not be able to visit everybody. But we must be mindful of members of the family of God that cannot come out and be a part of the fellowship. We must take fellowship to them. Sister Garis, one of the things I remember about her is that from that lady became a Christian, she just kept trying, right? And she ultimately led her husband. Remember, she became a Christian, and it was after that, long after she got married, and she led her husband. I remember going to Sister Mitchell Aunt's funeral, and you know, went to the funeral in Morant Bay, and then the Anglican priest went up on the pulpit, and there's a little cage that he went in, and that's where he preached from. So I said to myself, thank God they don't put me in a cage like that, because I would have to burst out. You know, I'm so used to moving about, you know, not be mindful that I don't have the mic. Yes, as I've said, Sister Garis, long before she was married, and then she got married, her husband was not a Christian, but finally she led him to become a Christian. He became a Christian and he died. And she is left. Now, it's not right that we forget her. God does not expect us. She's a part of God's family. You might not be able to visit every week, every month, but even now and again, I'm talking about practical Christianity that's going to judge us on the day of judgment. True religion and undefiled before God is this. What is it, James, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world? Sister Campbell, who live around Wright Crescent, even in her sixth state, she was still coming. Her memory is now failing. People like that should not be forgotten. We have brothers like Brother Rodney. He's not in town anymore. Some time ago, Brother Morrison made a suggestion, and it's something that should still be considered, that few of us as brothers probably find out where he's getting a car. He's in rural Jamaica, and go and visit him. They are, they have always been, and they will always be sick, elderly, shut-in members. Are we all there? Because we all, sometime or the other, beating our healthy young stage of life, we get sick, or as years advance, we get sick, and for some, they cannot be out as they want to. But brothers and sisters, it is not God's will that they be forgotten. It's wrong, and it is a terrible reflection on our Christianity. Individually and collectively, when simply because a member is unable. Now, I'm not talking about members who are just unfaithful and what and what. No, I'm talking about members who, we know their performance when they were in health. They come out to be a part of the fellowship and to worship God. They did it consistently and they did it faithfully. God does not want the church to forget them. God wants that the time that he gives us, that we put aside a little of that time to be Christian. Practical Christianity. As I've said, there are many brothers and sisters that are shut in. And I repeat this a few times, and I'm repeating it again. I'm not implying that any one brother or sister should take it up on him or herself to do all the visitation. What I am saying, because of what God is saying, is that if we are true Christian, if we are true followers of Jesus Christ, visiting those who need our encouragement, our visitation, our prayers, our assistance, That should be a part of our practice as Christ's children. I'm busy, Brother Mitchell. Are you too busy to go to heaven? Because that's what it comes down to. If we are going to talk about how busy I am. The genuine care concern for and shown to each other is Christianity in action. Let me repeat that. The genuine care and concern for and shown to each other is Christianity in action. What James was talking about, that true and undefiled religion before God is this. James was saying, this is true Christianity. To visit the fatherless. Wait, too. Visit there does not simply mean to come to look how you are. As one sister said, you say, yeah, come look for me. Me no get last. Yeah, come look for me. Me no get last. As one sister, she has a point. She said she no last. Well, yeah, come look for her. You look for people who are last. So, visit in James means to attend to the need of. That's one of the concepts in the visiting here. That whatever assistance you can give to that person, in many cases, that member might not need anything other than encouragement from us, eh? Word of prayer, eh? Or to be mindful that we have not forgotten him or her. But faithful members who have served should not be forgotten or be abandoned. It's wrong, it's sinful. We should care for one another. One of the interesting things in the Israelite and God's provision in the Israelite caring for the poor, for the unfortunate. When the Israelite planted their field and their crops. Hey. And that tie a rope on me. It's okay. I'm going to try and remain right here, so. Yes. When the Israelites plant their field, the Almighty God stipulated, get this, that when reaping time comes, remember, you know, here is it, I, as an Israelite, plant my 1 or 2 or 10 acres of wheat or barley or whatever, and we reaping time comes, the Almighty God asks Israel that when they reap, they should not reap the totality of the field. We all get it? They should leave a part there for the poor and the needy. That tells you and me something. The Almighty God always expects his people to care for one another. Brothers and sisters, those of us who might be for now being more fortunate than
some other. And I said, for no, because
if you don't, you should know how fortune can change overnight. And we should wake up to that. The COVID has taught us that our situation, materially, economically, physically, can change within a few days. But where you find yourself in a more fortunate position or situation than another brother or sister,
don't always wait for the person to come and say, I'm hungry. Or I need a few dollars to take care of this. God expects us to be sharing. Are we all there? Are we all there? Remember, I just pointed out something which many of you know, that the Israelites were commanded by God. Moses told them, when you plant your vineyard and your reap, don't reap everything. Leave a spot there for their squares. Why should I leave it there? No, leave it there for the poor in the community to come and able to get something out. God made that stipulation because God wants us always to care for one another. So we do not, as we are able to be of help to others, don't wait until they ask. If you are mindful that things are not going as well for that person at this time, don't wait until the person asks. When Jesus Christ has blessed us, we should bless others with whatever he blessed us. Are we all there? Remember, there are two things I want to... Wait. Time gone. Sure. There are two things I want to just briefly touch on. I've been spending the time on the importance of visitation. May I just drop here? These are some... There are places. That sometimes, if you are going, and especially as a sister, you want to go and visit a person, there are places that sometimes it's best that one person do not go. Nobody don't hear me? Everybody heard. That's important. Because we must be wise as serpent, harmless as dove. So there are times you have in mind to visit, but because of where you will be going, don't tempt God. God will protect. God expects you to exercise common sense. So there are times when you need to ask, baby, a brother or sister, have in mind, yes, you do that. I remember some months ago, Sister Dacres, trying to remember if it was to Sister Mitchell, she said it out to me. We have been inquiring about Sister Fad. And one Sunday she came and said,
spoke he that to me, our sister Mitchell, that brother Mitchell, this is not the right time to go in the area now. Many of us know the area, and at that time, gunmanship was going on in the area, and especially, you know, there are some area when they see stranger. So she said, this is not the right time. If you plan to visit sister, etc., etc., don't go now. I was glad for that advice. So there are times you're visiting, and it's good to take a person with you. But I want us to make sure we understand that don't make the mistake that Roman Catholicism make in respect to good works. What mistake they make, Brother Mitchell? They make the mistake in giving people the idea that good works will take you to heaven. Good works do not bring forgiveness. Very important that way. Good works cannot remove our sin. It matters not how good, how kind, how considerate a man or woman is. Until that person meet the simple condition of the gospel of Christ, that person is heading for the eternal hell. But you see, while good works does not bring forgiveness, you cannot be pleasing to God without good works. Listen, Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Quick. Titus chapter 3, verse 5.
By works of righteousness, which we have done.
Wait, start again.
Not by works of righteousness, which we have done.
Paul to Titus is saying, it's not by the right things or the good works that we have done. Read.
But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
You all hear that? The passage is dealing with how we are saved. And Paul to Titus is saying, it's not by work. What? Notice the work. It's work of righteousness. Those right things we do like I'm discussing tonight. The passage is saying, it's not by those that we are going to be saved. It's by the mercies of God in Jesus Christ. But while we are not saved by them, we cannot be saved without them. That's the important thing. Good works such as visiting, sharing, be mindful of, and things that they are absolutely necessary. But never make the mistake in thinking that they bring forgiveness. It is like baptism. May I? We are told in the book, we're not going to read this, in the book of Acts of the Apostle 22:16, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sin. That is giving you the idea that the water is what does the work. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sin. But when you tie that with James chapter 1 and verse 7, let us hear that.
For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord.
Is James, well, 1 John rather. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, I think.
But if we walk in the light,
mm-hmm.
as he is in the light,
mm-hmm.
we have fellowship one with another.
Mm-hmm.
And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sins.
What cleanses us from sin?
The blood.
What cleanses us from sin?
The blood.
But the passage that I've just quoted in Acts chapter 22, 16 tells, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sin. But here, 1 John 1 said, is telling us that it is the blood of Christ. You see, brothers and sisters, the water doesn't wash away sin. Are we out here?
Yes.
But your sin cannot be dealt with without the water. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that does it. But to get under the blood of Jesus Christ, you must be buried in the water. Well, it's just like good works. Good works does not save us or deal with our sin. But we cannot be saved without good works.
I want to, but I'm going to stop here. I want to go down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of Jesus' parable. 8. Jesus dealt with some 16 parables, less or more. I want to just run down 8. Not to
show one point. And that is, as Christian, and even our ultimate condemnation, and may God help that none of us inside here as Christian be condemned on that day. May God help us. But that our condemnation, if we are not careful, lot of it will not come necessarily from wrong things we do, but from the right things we fail to do. And I was going to run down, just bring up, not study the parable, just take up one parable and make a few statements on it, and take up another one, and show in this parable that in so many of Jesus' parables, the sin under consideration was the sin of omission. The wrong that the person or persons involved in was failure to perform, failure to do. There are two fig trees in Jesus' parable, two separate parables, and both of them were failure to produce. Both of them. One of them, Jesus Christ came, was hungry, expecting to find something to eat a fig, and he had no fig. And Jesus' contention is, by now you should have feared some figs. And Jesus Christ cursed it, and it withered up. Are we all here? I wanted to go down about 8 of them, but suffice it for another time. Christianity is a marathon. It is not a quarter mile sprint. We must make sure that we prioritize and we do not leave behind those things that God considers important in our salvation to be practiced. We must make sure that
song number 382. 382. Please stand. We're a part of the family that's been born again. Part of the family whose love knows no end. For Jesus has saved us and made us his own. Now we're part of the family that's on its way home. And sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry, sometimes we share together our aches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family.